and welcome to How to Be a Podcast Genius. You know, being a podcaster is a little bit like the life cycle of a salmon, because you start out feeling very small and insignificant and slightly overwhelmed by the ecosystem possibilities around you. But as you grow, you begin to realize there is a natural flow to events and you can start to master your environment. But I suppose the way it's closest to being a salmon is sooner or later you feel compelled to do it in a stream. Okay, so that's it. That is the end of Series 1 of How to Be a Podcast Genius. We have come to the final episode, Episode 12. Now, there's no reason why this should be the final episode of a season, by the way. I have this idea in my head that there's 12 episodes in a season, but there doesn't have to be. You can have as many as you like. So, you know, that's another thing maybe you should think about when you're putting a podcast show together, is are you going to break it down into seasons, or are you going to run it week to week? Are you going to do it every 2 weeks? What's your cadence going to be? What's your publishing cadence going to be? One thing that's really important about that is if you put out a weekly show, then you build an audience quicker and you maintain that connection with your audience in a more effective way, so you get more listeners coming back and fewer ones missing you. Churn, as it's known. Whereas if you do it every 2 weeks, you get, you know, slightly less engagement. If you do it monthly, again, you'll get less again. It doesn't mean the audience won't come back, but what often happens with audiences, and we talked about this right the way back at the beginning of the season, is if you are listening to a show, often what will happen is you'll find out about the show at like episode 5 or 6 when it gets a little bit of buzz and traction, and then you'll drop in and you'll listen to all the previous episodes, and you might not come back until there's another 6 episodes down because you like to listen to it in a binge. All in the one go, if you've got a long drive coming up, or you know, you're cooking a massive curry or something, you're going to be in the kitchen for an hour, you might listen to, you know, 3 or 4 shows over that period, depending on how long they are. Now, what's interesting with that, of course, is this idea that obviously if you do a show every month, it takes you 6 months to create 6 shows, then you'll get an audience that might drop in month 6 and listen to everything, and then they won't come back for half a year. So you don't see the same kind of audience traction, growth and velocity, as opposed to if you've got a weekly show, then, you know, they might come back 6 weeks later and binge. And so you get, you know, better metrics from that. But I mean, look, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. What really matters is you're making a good show. And we're going to talk now about this episode. We're going to tie up everything we've learned in a nice, simple little summary. And then we're going to talk about what's coming up in season 2, because season 2 is going to blow your mind. But first of all, it's time to very possibly take our last intermission. And just, did you hear that noise in the background? I'm not sure my noise gate is set right. My chair has started making noises. It sounds like I'm sitting on a giant kitten. It's squeaking away down there. God, that's frustrating. But you know what? I'm going to leave this in. I'm going to leave it in because, you know what? This show's all about learning, and I've learned that I need to get a quieter chair. Okay, it's intermission time. There's still time to get yourself a refreshing beverage, or perhaps a salty snack from the kiosk. I would recommend not doing either of those things, because, you know, you can't be sure, can you? You can't be sure how long that popcorn's been there and whether or not it's covered in COVID or not. Let's face it, that's a risk, isn't it? I tell you something, you know what, if you're going to go for a snack, okay, if you feel compelled to, you know, don't touch that hot dog. I mean, let's face it, you know what, there's stuff living under that heat lamp that, you know, is much, much worse than a global pandemic, well, I mean, for your bowels. And, you know, the nachos, they're as dry as a bone, and that is not cheese. That is not cheese, cinema guy. That is not cheese. It's weird. It tastes of a sort of weird mix of nitrates and cancer. And, you know, and another thing as well, for God's sake, don't touch the pick and mix. 47 different kinds of urine on those cola bottles. There, I've said it. Okay, now I'm perfectly willing to admit that went to a very weird place just then. You know, when I started that section, I never expected that I would be doing an intermission every week. But the thing is, it became a really good way to explore different angles and sort of frame the show. And this one is going to be all about doing things live, doing it in one take. I'm doing this whole show in one take. And that's why I've rigged up to my new digital mixing desk a bleeper machine. Which is great. Now, the thing I love about bleeping machines is that basically they work on the principles of psychology, which simply means that, you know, you're expecting the bleep to equate to a swear word. So I don't have to say anything rude at all. I just have to press the bleeper machine as I'm going along, and you make it rude. That's, you see, yeah, you just inserted a rude word there, didn't you? Okay, and to prove this for you, let's do Mary Had a Little Lamb, okay, which is the first thing that Thomas Edison recorded on a wax cylinder, and it sort of holds a special place in recording studios. People often use Mary Had a Little Lamb as a mic test and that sort of stuff. I always make people do it on my shows. So if you apply the bleeper machine to that, it becomes filthy. So Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was there you go. I'm not sure if that one came out. We'll try a different one. Twinkle, twinkle, little how I wonder what you up above the world so like a twinkle the twinkle twinkle little star shove it up your you know what, that last bit may have been rude. I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, I've got all sorts of new things happening here with my mixing desk and all of this, and the reason I am making this very labored point about having those sorts of stuff is because the next season of How to Be a Podcast U is going to specialise in streaming. See, I didn't mean specialise, I meant focus on streaming. And the way that the mechanics of recording a streaming show is very, very different from recording an edited show. And actually, it takes you to new places, it requires new skills, it requires a different kit. And generally speaking, it's like the next level, as well as being a whole different ball game. So before we get there, though, let's just have a look at all the I've been talking about this. Okay, sorry, I'll stop doing that now. That's super lame. So, okay, let's just dive in. So this season has been all about starting out, really. Starting out with your own podcast and recording it and getting it right. So what have we done this season? Well, we've looked at recording kit and the kind of stuff that you can get into the cheaper end of microphones. My advice was to get yourself a good quality condenser mic. The reason for that is because, you know, condenser mics are more sensitive. Right now, I have changed over my main mic to use one of these podcasting mics from a company called Rode, and this is a dynamic microphone. They work in a different way. They don't use phantom power. They have very slight sort of different mechanics. They don't pick up background noise as well. And, you know, they don't pick up your mouth noises as much. So actually, in a way, I think they're probably better for podcasting than condenser mics, but they don't have the flexibility. So were you wanting to get a microphone you could also record instruments with or record music, that sort of stuff, or you wanted to do more sensitive recording with, a dynamic mic probably isn't going to be right for you. But if you're just doing voice and you can get up good and close to it, that's fine. Of course, that means it's completely different Minecraft as well. I'll come to all of that in season two. So remember, we talked about getting a decent mic and also recording into a separate recorder, and that still remains absolutely essential. You know, you can record into a cloud-based service like Squadcast or something like that if you want to, and they are fantastic, provided everyone dialing in has got a really good connection. If you don't, then, you know, you're going to have problems because people can drop out, you can lose aspects of recording. That's what happened in my tests. And with some guests, you lose the opportunity to re-record them, and you can actually, you know, wind up in a sort of a challenge if you've got a show at a deadline and you lose half the recording with the guest. So always record to a hard disk of some description. And I say, you know, if you can get a digital recorder, you can get them quite cheap, with an SD card in it, record to that. Don't record onto the disk in your computer, because the thing is, computers do stuff in the background that, again, can mess with your recording. So, you know, if you're using a Windows machine and it suddenly decides it's going to update something, everything just suspends, and again, you'll lose your recording. If you're using a Mac, it tends to be a little bit more solid. However, it can have scheduled operations that connect to the web and mess with your settings, mess with your bandwidth. So, you know, don't do that. So record to a separate recorder. And also, you know, you want to get the best quality. You want to control the narrative of the show, and, you know, hit your time targets, make your life easy, record and then edit it down. Use editing. That way you can use filters and various different effects to get the best possible sound quality. Plus, you can control the flow and the pace of the show, and you can drop in musical breaks, or you can drop in, you know, cutaways or other recorded sections that you've done separately, and create, you know, a more interesting texture to your show. So that one is still, you know, red hot. Do that if you're producing your own podcast, or you're producing them commercially. The other thing is learn how to use the effects. You know, I've spent this last sort of 5 days with this new mixing desk trying to work out how the onboard compression affects the sound. Previously, I'd only ever recorded things raw and then worked with the software in the digital audio workstation or the DAW to get the sound right. Actually, I'm changing my approach to that, and we'll talk about workflow in season two as well and how to speed up your workflow. And now I've set up onboard compression and sequential onboard compression actually on my mixing desk. It all sounds very clever. It's not really, all it really means is, you know, I spend less time twiddling knobs on the screen because I know that my audio quality is always going to be hitting the same kind of mark. And so, you know, unless there's been a problem or I've got a cold or there's something affecting my voice that needs change, you know, I can take less time in the edit and I can focus more on the other things that are more important, like making the guests and the people who dial in sound good. Okay, so learn how to use those things. I always recommend go to Music Radio Creative and Mike Russell. He's fantastic. They do absolutely fantastic tutorials there on YouTube for using the platform I prefer, which is Adobe Audition. So go there with it. Okay, and also something else. If you want to get the best out of your guests, make an edited show and tell them it's edited. You know, people often have this idea in their heads that if you're going to do a podcast, you have to record it like the Joe Rogan show and it's got to be like a one take, everyone sitting around a table live. Now, in reality, that's not actually how most shows get made. And, you know, I think even Joe Rogan's is obviously edited a bit. If you tell people a show is edited and you tell them that, you know, you'll cut out any bits they don't want, they can start again, they can fumble their words, it doesn't matter, only the best stuff is going to make it into the final cut, they will relax. And when they're relaxed, you get better interviews and, you know, you have a much better vibe about the show and people are more confident. So make your life easy, make your guest life easy, put your guests at ease, make the edited show. And something you can't afford to miss, though, we've covered off in this with a fantastic Gary Tickle, who is, you know, a legend. If you're listening there, big shout out to Gary, is work on your own stuff, no matter how good you are. And Gary is a fantastic performer. He's a really, really good podcast host. But he and I are both well aware that actually you do need to tune up your voice and your vocal presentation using the four P's: pitch, power, pace, and pause. Yeah, see what I did there? Yeah, I know, I do that every week. It's terrible. But work on your own vocal performance and learn to control the elements of your voice, and that is going to help you put the show together. Okay, that is all really important. Also, learn how to use music and sound effects to add texture to what you're doing. No, don't. Not now. Not now. Stop it. You see, actually, this new mixing desk has got a whole load of buttons on it. Which you can press and, you know, make stuff happen. Yeah, you like that? That's great. You know, but the thing is, you mustn't get carried away with it, because then, you know, you can just ruin your own show. Yes, I did it. I did it. Do you think that's funny? Anyone? No one? Sorry, right, I'll stop doing it now. So the important thing to remember is, you know, sound effects can be very useful to create scene changes. You know, when you watch a TV show, you've got scene changes that take place. You know, the camera moves and, you know, you move with it. It breaks it into bite-sized chunks. When you read a book, you've got chapters. And that breaks the book into chunks and make it easier to digest. Podcasts are exactly the same. If you're making a show, use music to create scene changes in the mind of the audience and also to give it depth. You know, it can sound very flat if it's just a straight voice. If you add music to the background like I'm doing now, you know, it just gives a little bit of depth. Your voice sits on top of it and it just sounds more three-dimensional. It's got a bit more of a radio quality about it. Good. That is everything. And the last thing I'd say is, you know, show formats. Experiment with your show formats. Someone asked me this on another podcast the other day. I was getting interviewed for a change, which, you know, honestly was, you know, I don't like being interviewed. It's weird. Wow, I had no idea what it's like on the other side of the mic. And I was getting interviewed and someone said to me, like, you know, what's the number one tip you could give people? What's the biggest mistake they make? And I think the biggest mistake people make with podcasts is thinking that you have to record it in one go. You don't. You can do all kinds of stuff. I've put shows together that have been literally, you know, people sending me voice memos and me then, you know, piecing that together with the voice over the top and people thinking that we were all in the same room having a conversation, but actually it was, you know, people sending me voice memos and they'd never spoken to each other at all. I've done shows like that. I've done shows where, you know, actually I've done one interview with a special guest for sort of half an hour. And then, you know, other people have come in and re-recorded the questions I asked. So it sounds like we're all doing a joint interview in the same show. And of course, you don't even have to be in the show yourself. You can just record someone else and edit them together, and then you get that nice sort of diary narrative. These are all different ways you can approach putting a show together. So be experimental with that. That's very important. Okay. That has summed up this season. And if you need to know anything more about that, if you need to, you know, there's a fantastic show I did with someone who started out as an intern and is now a podcast producer, Avery Trotter, who is part of the collective. Avery, huge shout out to you as well. He's part of the We Podcast You team. Avery is awesome. And yeah, he shows very clearly that by picking the right sort of corporate muzak from a music library and, you know, jamming over the top of it, you can completely change the flow and texture of what you're doing. Okay, so what then? That's it. That was season one. What's going to be coming up in the next season? Why should you stay tuned? Okay, so I want you to come back for season two, because over the last couple of weeks, I have been experimenting with a whole load of new concepts and ideas to take podcasting, my own podcasting, to a higher level, the work I can offer to my clients to a higher level, and also to, you know, take How to Be a Podcast Genius and the stuff I've learned to a higher level. And so what is that? Okay, let's count it down. But before we get there, I'm just going to touch my... I'm not even actually swearing there, I'm sorry. Okay, I just hadn't pressed the button for that long. So what are we going to be doing in season two? It's going to go like this. Number one, we're going to talk about kit. Once you've got your condenser mics and your recorder and everything set up, you think you've got everything you need, but actually, you know, you will get to a stage like I did where you're going to need a mixing desk, especially if you want to do streaming, because streaming is often happening on apps that are only available on mobile devices. So you need to have a TRRS cable. That's a two-way, 3.5 mil jack cable that can communicate to a phone. It's the kind of cable you need if you've got headphones and a headset with a mic and you're talking through a phone. So you're going to need that. If you're going to have that, you usually need to get a mixing desk to make that happen. There's some great podcasting mixing desks out there. The Manocaster is a fantastic one. The Zoom PodTrack 8, which is a lovely one. I love Zoom products. Myself, I have a Rodecaster, which is, again, another one. And they all have, you know, strengths and weaknesses and more configurability or whatever. But yeah, you're going to need one of those if you get into that. So we're going to need a new kit. And also, let's talk about dynamic mics and what you can do with a dynamic mic and why that might be useful, because, you know, it needs a bit less setup and you don't need a, you know, so much of a pop guard, and, you know, you don't need the same kind of you know, surround mic surrounds and stuff on it to get pretty good results, because they're less reverby and that sort of thing. So there can be advantages to it, but, you know, like I said, if you're only going to buy one mic, get a condenser mic, because they can have a lot more flexibility and a lot more applications. All right, that's number one. Number two is workflow. All right, we're going to be exploring a different way of doing workflow. Now, with the mixing desk I've got, it's got onboard effects. So it has a compressor built in, noise gate, a de-esser, various different things. Things that I've shown you how to use as filters in software. If you can get all those things on your mixing desk so you are outputting that signal, then suddenly you are reducing the amount of time you're going to spend in a digital audio workstation working on your audio and post-production. It's a new way of working. And to be honest with you, it isn't a way of working that I particularly like, to be honest. I'm still getting used to it. There's something a bit weird about losing control. The good news is that if you've got a good mixing desk, you can also record onto it. And if you can bypass the effects so you record the raw audio, then you are really getting the best of both worlds with that. So I think that is going to be a big part of it, is looking at how do you improve your workflow? Can you make it quicker to produce your shows for your clients? Because if you can do that, you can produce more of them, you can produce them better. You can spend less time fiddling with the audio channels and more time working on the edit and improving the flow of the show. So I think there's benefits for everyone in that. And of course, the other thing we're going to be talking about in a big way is live streaming. And live streaming is probably going to take up a lot of it, because I've started doing that on an app called Wisdom. I'm on there pretty much every day doing a little sort of live stream talking about podcasting and sort of trying to give advice and get advice from people. And I'm also working on various other live streams. I dropped into a Twitter live stream on someone else's show the other day. That was very exciting. I also was interviewed on an app called Stereo yesterday by Elizabeth Carpenter, who has been giving me loads of great advice about streaming and sort of getting me into social audio and talk casting, as they call it. So we're going to be talking a lot about that, because streaming sets up a whole different set of goals for you, because you need to think about presenting on a live stream. There are different skills you need to present live than you do editing, because there's no re-records. Okay, so you need to be fluent. You really need to know where you're going. You need to have a good sense of the script, and you need to stay really focused on that. You're also going to be working on things live. You're going to be touching knobs live. You're going to be moving sliders live. You might be hitting effects live and, you know, panels like this. And, you know, if you're going to be doing that, then you need to be in the zone. So it's a different skill set presenting on a live stream, I think. And also, you need to be prepared. If you're going to be live streaming, you could be interviewed or you could be interviewing. Or, you know, you might do both in the same show, because certainly with most social audio and live streaming applications, what you're going to find is that there is a guest facility and you can have one guest, sometimes two guests come on. And interviewing a guest live with no preparation, especially if it's a guest you never met before, presents a whole new layer of challenge. How do you get the best out of them? How do you get them to feel relaxed? How do you relax? And, you know, how do you deal with the unexpected coming up? You can do various things to set up your mic and, you know, set up your mixing desk and things like that with various different tools, like ducking, for example, which is a really powerful one, which, you know, mutes other channels or drops other channels while you're talking. And that can be really useful for getting out of trouble if, you know, you have someone come on your show and they start talking about weird stuff. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there. I'm concerned that my audio is coming out a little bit too peaky here, so I'm going to go back to my mixing desk and fiddle with my compressor. And so while I'm twiddling my knobs over the next few months, I hope you have a good Christmas break, and I'm going to be back in 2022 with more How to Be a Podcast Genius. And in the meantime, for me, Andrew Keith Walker, get in touch. I'm Andrew at We Podcast You. Send me a message if you want to talk about any of the things I've raised in the show. You want to talk about podcasting, but don't just, you know, like my LinkedIn page. That's linkedin.com/companies/WePodcastYou. Wow, that's live. That's a mouthful, live. And also find me on LinkedIn. It's linkedin.com/in/AndrewKeithWalker. And yeah, let's be friends and chat. And also visit the We Podcast You site. That's www.wepodcastyou.com. And you can see the shows that we're producing there as well. Get in touch. And, you know, get podcasting. And also, if you're not already, if you're a brand or a small business and you want to really, really engage with people and build a community around what you do, you need to start thinking about social audio. And if you don't get into it now, preparing, because, you know, certainly over the next couple of years, everyone's going to be doing it. And you need to be ready to get on the stream and, you know, build connections with people that way. Good. Okay. I know it's early, but happy Christmas. And yeah, we will catch up in 2022. Bye-bye.